1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hello and welcome to the program today as the racers are off. They'll return to action on Thursday. Murray State will play Eastern Illinois and then play SIU Edwardsville on Saturday. We'll have more on those games coming up on tomorrow's show with Ed Marlowe. Today, we're going to wrap up the college football season with Josh Plinos, Washington Post contributor. Josh has been our go-to guy with college football. He and I think both expected it to be a pretty good championship game between Clemson and Alabama, but I don't believe anybody thought it would turn into what we saw, which was one of the classics. This is one that, sometimes you have to see some of the plays to believe them, and there were so many in that contest last time by both teams. And there was no doubt that the two teams that deserved to play for the national championship played for the national championship. Pains me as someone who pulls for Ohio State, but come on. this was really unquestionable, and the game was just outstanding. You know, a tip of the cap to both teams, but also to Clemson on winning the championship. That was, against all odds, take a look at how many people picked. I mean, I was looking online through my Twitter feed yesterday before the game, and other than picking fans for each school, and I never count those because you're going to pick your own school. I understand that. I would. But the people without a dog in the hunt were virtually all taking Alabama. Many, though, would always throw in there, Deshaun Watson, he's pretty good. He could make it happen. Well, it turns out he did. But what a terrific game. We'll talk more on that. But before we do, let's get you caught up with the sports. There's only one local team that was in action last night, and Callaway County's Lady Lakers, they had a tough loss Friday night against Marshall County at home, but they bounced right back by playing Trigg County at home and cruising to a 71-33 victory. Good nights for Keely Puckett, Allie Fritz, Charlie Settle, Alicia Hornbuckle, 12 each. The Laker girls are now 14-2 heading into Friday's Crosstown Classic matchup with Murray High at the CFSB Center. Only one other girls game was played last night. In boys high school basketball, it was St. Mary downing Fulton City 67-38, and Christian Fellowship defeated Community Christian Academy 55-43. Tonight, the Callaway County boys will try to halt a three-game skid. They welcome Trigg County to Jeffrey Gymnasium for a 7:30 game. The Lakers enter the contest with a record of 9-6. The new Associated Press Kentucky high school basketball polls are out. On the girls' side, Louisville Butler, no surprise there. They are number one in the state with a 14-1 record. One of those wins is over Murray High. Number two is Male, Mercer County, third. Simon Kenton, who also defeated Murray, is ranked fourth. DuPont Manual is fifth. Sacred Heart, sixth. Franklin County, seventh. Elizabethtown, eighth. Murray High comes in at number nine, and the team they just beat on Sunday, Henderson County, is 10th ranked in the state. The 12-3 Murray Lady Tigers will resume action on Friday as part of that boys-girls crosstown classic at the CFSB Center. Louisville Trinity, your number one boys team in the state, as they pick up 12 of 14 first-place votes. They sit 15-1. There are no unbeaten boys teams among the top 10. Covington Catholic is second. Bowling Green, that team that walloped Murray High earlier, they are 12-2. They sit third. Fern Creek is fourth. Louisville Ballard fifth. And rounding out the top 10, Scott County, Christian County, Dunbar, Campbell County, and Cooper. Remember, Christian County, the number seven team in the state, 12-2. They just lost Sunday to McCracken County as part of Mustang Madness. Sort of a light schedule last night in terms of regional interest basketball scores, as Appalachian State defeated Arkansas State 70-57, and it was Coastal Carolina defeating Arkansas Little Rock by a score of 66-63. Tonight, lots of college basketball, and we begin in the Ohio Valley Conference with two games, including one conference game on tap. Tennessee Tech, they're 7-11. They just beat Murray State, but they have regrouped after Christmas. They came in with a new focus, and you can tell they're playing really well. They're 3-0 in league play. They travel to 6-12 Southeast Missouri. Those teams will play tonight. And just to show you the home court advantage in the OVC, I usually read these from the Yahoo. And Yahoo's name's going to be going away pretty soon. They're going to change their name, but that's another story in a few months after the Verizon buy last month. They just announced that they'll be having a name change. Anyhow, SEMO a three-point favorite despite a 1-2 conference record, but they're at the Show Me Center. They will be a three-point favorite against Tennessee Tech. And Fort Valley State will play at Jacksonville State tonight. Kentucky swings back into action in SEC play this evening when they will play Vanderbilt. Also tonight, that is in Nashville, by the way. Also tonight, Auburn's at Mizzou. Florida is at Alabama, and Mississippi State will play at Arkansas. And it is a busy time in the top 25 after the college championship game. You get Xavier at number 3, Villanova. Baylor puts their number 1 ranking on the line at West Virginia in a battle of top 10 teams. You got Duke and Florida State. And then Florida at Alabama, as we mentioned, and then Kansas plays at Oklahoma. And that will be our Game of the Week that airs tonight at 7:45. We'll have that for you this evening on 1340 WNBS. For the fourth time this season, Kentucky freshman guard De'Aaron Fox is the SEC Freshman of the Week. He led the Wildcats to a pair of victories last week at home, averaged 21.6 assists, 5.5 rebounds per game. Baylor, your new number one team in the latest AP poll, the 15-0 Bears, didn't receive a vote at all in the preseason poll. They got 55 first-place votes yesterday. Villanova drops to third after their loss to Butler. Kansas moves off to second. UCLA stayed fourth. Gonzaga is fifth. They're the only other Division I unbeaten. Kentucky sixth. Duke, Creighton, Florida State, West Virginia round out the top 10. Louisville, a steep drop from 9th to 14th. Clemson finished atop the AP college football poll after the game last night. The polling was done. Clemson automatically the number one team. They take the spot from Alabama. The Tide had held that all season long. Southern Cal, they're the first team to finish as high as number 3 with 3 losses. Washington, 4th, Oklahoma, 5th. Ohio State, 6th. Penn State, 7th. Florida State, 8th. Wisconsin, 9th. Michigan, 10th. Louisville, remember, they were top 10 talking about making the college football playoffs, and they really just the end of the season. I don't know the reasoning behind it. Really don't, but they were not the same team at the end as they were at the beginning. At the beginning, they certainly looked every bit of a team that would play, at least in the college football playoffs. I'm not sure about national championship. They certainly looked top 4 early on. They finished 21st nationally. It was a battle between Campaign and Isaiah Cannon last night. Not directly, but Oklahoma City taking on the Chicago Bulls, and it was Oklahoma City who prevailed 109-94. Campaign didn't make a shot. He was 0-for-6, and Isaiah Cannon made a couple of shots but didn't get a ton of minutes in the game. However, Oklahoma City picks up the win 109-94 over the Chicago Bulls. I'll take a break, and when I come back, it will be more with Josh Planos right after this. GoRacers.com is your one-stop information center for Murray State Athletics, with schedules for every team, coach bios, student-athlete bios, social media links, game information, audio and video links, ticket information, camp information, and a special section called Fan Central just for fans. If you have a question about the Racers, the answer is GoRacers.com, your online home for Racer Athletics. We are back, and as promised, Josh Planos, Washington Post contributor, is my guest. And let's talk about the national championship game. I picked Alabama. I think most people I know were picking Alabama unless they were Clemson fans, but many thought Clemson, based on the way they played in the semifinals, might have had a shot if things went well. Well, I guess things went well, Josh. Not only did Clemson win, but we were treated to one of the best possible national championship games I believe anyone could ever see. It was terrific, basically, from start to finish, at least after Alabama got the 14-0 lead.
Absolutely. I mean, Clemson may not have forced a turnover, but, you know, holding Jalen Hurts to 13 for 31 passing for 131 yards is incredible. It was by and away the worst performance of his season. He really had nowhere to go. As we saw in the fourth quarter, it seemed like every time, even if Clemson didn't get a significant pass rush, you know, their secondary had the receivers locked up. Once Bo Scarborough went down, it was essentially kaput for for the Alabama offense, and I credit a lot of that to Brent Venables' defense over at Clemson. I mean, we saw it in the semifinal with what they did to Ohio State in kind of suffocating what they were trying to do, and you know, just an incredible job. And I think for a team to lose the turnover battle 2-0 and still come out with a win in the national title game speaks volumes about the performance of the defense and Clemson. I mean, that's a game that people are going to be talking about for years. You know, it ended a 31-year title drought. You know, the context of, you know, Deshaun Watson, that's probably the final game of his college career. And, you know, he marches the team down and scores with a second remaining. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. It reminded me a lot of the Vince Young USC national title game that right. season. And it was just incredible to watch. And I think a lot of people are pretty tired here at work this morning because nobody wanted to miss last night.
No, that was it. I mean, I have to be up at a little before 5 in the morning, but there's no way I was going to sleep on that game. However, I have to admit, I thought Alabama would find a way to win, and I believe they had. When I watched Jalen Hurts just make a terrific play, run it into the end zone, and it seemed like, okay, that's what I thought would probably happen. Now Clemson's behind the eight ball with very little time to make plays, but my goodness, did they make plays on that last drive down the field, ending in the end zone in one of the most terrific under-pressure drives you could imagine with everything on the line.
Yeah, and it just so happened that Hunter Renfrow, the guy who seems to be the center of attention for Clemson's offense when they get to the national title game, and only when they get to the national title game, made the game-winning catch. And that was a terrific route. Just the poise that Watson had to lead his team, he seemed at ease and calm the entire drive. And that is not how I would personally be taking the news that, you know, what I thought was a game-winning drive was instead matched by one of Alabama's. And, you know, you have to go back out on the field with, 2 minutes left and the season on the line. But, you know, that's what makes him an incredible quarterback, and that's what makes this Clemson team so resilient. They've been in that situation time and time again, with so many close games this season. And Alabama really has not had faced much adversity throughout the season because they've put away teams in the first half. So, I mean, this is probably new territory for the Tide. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is, 18 years old. So talk about, pressure for a young guy to face. And, the top defense in the country, the top scoring defense in the entire nation, gives up 21 points in the fourth quarter. And I can't remember the last time an Alabama team gave up that many points in a quarter. And that just speaks to the intensity and the elite level of defense that Saban has down in Tuscaloosa. So, credit Watson and his team for going out and doing what they needed to do. And I'm sure Saban will be kicking himself for years to come with how that game ended up.
Watson, his performance didn't really surprise me, but a player to me that just jumped up and to me is better than I even thought he was is Mike Williams. Two or three of the catches he made, they pay NFL guys to make those catches, and not that there was, I think, any question that he would be in the NFL. If he plays like that, this could be an elite receiver by the time his pro career is done.
Absolutely. I mean, just high-pointing the ball, it seemed like he was willing to go up wherever he needed to make the catch. Every catch he made seemed to be better than the one that came before it. That guy is he has plenty of skill. I think that's why draft analysts are going crazy about his stock. He's had at least 5 catches in every game since mid-October. So while last night was an impressive performance, it also was the second straight game in which he went for 90-plus yards receiving. So clearly Watson is aware of his skill set and is aware of how important it is to get him the ball. And, I'm sure he was happy to have him on his team last night because Williams was making catches that I don't think anybody else on the field could have made.
I have watched a lot of college football this season, but I was just amazed by the talent that I was able to watch on the field. Any idea how many future pro players we were able to see play in that game? Because it seemed like virtually every one of them might make an impact at some level.
Well, I mean, you could make an argument that Alabama's entire defense is probably heading to the NFL. I think O.J. Howard is another name that, again, you know, he had a monster performance, goes for 106 yards on four grabs.
Yeah.
I would say, I see Scarborough in the same vein that I see, a Derrick Henry and a Mark Ingram, just a power back. Hurts, if he develops, I think could have a bright future in a number of positions. I wouldn't be surprised if there are 20-plus future NFL players in that game. And that's just, that's a conservative estimate because, the way these teams play and the way these teams recruit, they're bringing in players for their pipeline and players who they feel can play on Sundays moving forward. So I really did see no fewer than 20 future NFL players in that game. And I'm sure, it might stretch into the 30s when all said and done.
I'm one of those people that want to see the playoffs expanded to an 18 playoff. However, the people with the National Football Championship, whoever's on the committee, they can point to the last couple of national championship games and go, I think we're doing okay based on what you're able to see in the title game. What's your argument one way or the other for that?
For adding teams to the playoffs?
Yes.
I think that while the semifinals were perhaps not as competitive as we would have hoped, if it's just going to lead to Alabama and Clemson in the national title game, which, to be fair, if we could see that matchup every single season, I would be all for it.
Yeah, me too.
If it's just going to lead to the two best teams, as we've seen, playoffs only been around 3 years, and already we've had a rematch, then we can save ourselves some time by just keeping it at four. I'm all for adding teams, but if the ultimate situation, if the situation that we get is going to be just the top two teams are going to advance, and it's going to be Clemson and Alabama, until proven otherwise, I just don't know why we would add two more. It seems like it would be a nice opportunity for promotion for the universities and for them to generate a little bit more revenue. But as far as I'm concerned, if it's just going to lead to Clemson, Alabama, we could just stick with two teams in the college football playoff and just have them play. Because it seems to be, what the final matchup ends up being. And people, at least this season, do not remember what happened in the semifinals. So I would stick with four. I think, obviously, 3 years is a very small sample size, and I would kind of ride that out and see if you can, sure, maybe do 5 years with this approach and see what the ratings look like. I think a bigger obstacle right now is changing the day in which the semifinals are held, because not a lot of people are watching it on New Year's Eve. So I would change that before I would add teams to the playoff.
All right, fair point. That sounds like a good argument, and again, you just can't really argue with the championship results. So the book is closed on the football season. We move to basketball, and I want to talk about the Big Ten. You're right in the thick of that. Nebraska right in the thick of the Big Ten title chase, at least early on, with Minnesota, Purdue, Michigan, and Nebraska each sitting there with four, or Michigan State, I should say, there with 3-1, two other 2-1 teams. Based on that, it looks like a wide-open Big Ten there, Josh.
Absolutely. I watched Minnesota the other night, and they are for real. What Patino has done with that team in such a small period of time is remarkable. They really kind of waxed Ohio State in the game that I saw. They have length all over the floor. They have players who are confident enough to pull up for three. They've got shot blockers. They've got guys with swagger. They really have all of their bases covered. And I would be very afraid of Minnesota moving forward. And at 15-2, there's reason to believe that this is a pretty quality basketball team. In total, the Big Ten looks terrific. Like you mentioned, that Nebraska is tied atop the Big Ten standings at 9-7, I think really can speak to the depth that this conference has and the importance of conference play, because Nebraska knew when it loaded up in its non-conference schedule that if it could just kind of stay afloat, and if it could maybe get a couple wins here and there in conference play, that it could have an opportunity to make the NCAA tournament. And right now, they're 3-1, 9-7 in total, and they look like they have a pretty darn good resume. should all things go as expected. I don't think anybody expected that Michigan and Ohio State would be a combined 1-5 in conference play right now. But those teams are kind of rebuilding, and Indiana, you know, sitting at 1-2. I mean, yeah. The Big Ten is really just stacked. Purdue's been great, reloading after they lost some guys to the pros. Michigan State's always a threat. I'm really excited to see how the Big Ten shakes out because, you know, if Nebraska's picking up wins, then, you know, everybody else is going to just kind of have to keep up. And I think that's exciting for the Cornhuskers and exciting for the conference as a whole.
And also in your area, kind of a top-heavy Big 12, at least with Baylor in Kansas. Baylor barely surviving a scare from Iowa State at home, but they survived it. They remain unbeaten. Kansas also in there at 3-0 in conference play. They get a challenge at Oklahoma tonight. That's our college game of the week that'll air right here. But those are two teams. Nobody expected Kansas to not make noise, but I was really surprised when Baylor started winning games. Like, how good can they be? But I've watched them. They're a pretty good basketball team.
I mean, what a great opportunity for college basketball to kind of stake its claim now that college football has ended. I mean, tonight we get Baylor, West Virginia. We get Xavier, Villanova. We get Duke, Florida State. All of those are top 10 matchups saved for Xavier's the 15th team. So we have three top 15 showdowns tonight, and I think we're going to learn a lot about all of these teams. So, you know, if you're a college football fan and you're looking for a place to you know, funnel your interest into, you know, try college basketball out for size tonight, because there's going to be some incredible matchups. Like you said, the Big 12 is terrific. I did catch a Baylor game over the week, and they look like they are you know, one of the tallest teams in the country, so that's obviously working out for them. Kansas is always a threat. Kansas State has improved, which is interesting. If for no other reason than Marcus Foster, who, you know, 2 years ago was the team's best player, 3 years ago was the team's best player, and he transferred to Creighton after being dismissed from the team. So clearly they've moved forward, and at 13-2 seem to be heading in the right direction. I'm excited to see how West Virginia fares tonight. I think that this is a really great opportunity. Clearly, anytime you can knock off the number one team in the country, you're going to try and make the most of it. But you know, this is a really good opportunity to see how they match up with the, you know, the cream of the crop, and we'll see if they can move forward with the win. I expect them to actually knock off Baylor tonight, so hopefully they can come through for me.
All right, Josh, I appreciate the visit. Great job this season on our college football reports that we were able to get from you, and it was amazing that we ended up with such a terrific championship game. Hopefully we'll see that happen next year too.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. That is Josh Planos. Ed Marlowe will join me on tomorrow's show.